जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् अभय चरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय बुदलेशमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मयानाथां मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरतस्तर्थेष्व विज्ञस्वराण् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयां तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमां यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहावां पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेन् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि मम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾತಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. So, what we were discussing last Sunday was Uddhava's question to Krishna. Uddhava says to Krishna that samshayam, doubt. Samshayam shrunudu vacha matava yogeshwareshwara na nivartada almasto yena bhyamyadi meemana. That was the way Uddhava raised this doubt to Krishna, saying that Uddhava was saying that whatever you have spoken to me so far, I have been in deep, great doubts have developed inside me, and nan vartada almasto yena bhramidi me mana, that unless they are cleared up, my mind is continuously going through a lot of crisis. So when, as I mentioned before, when Uddhava mentioned this to Krishna, and Krishna answered, isn't it? From next verse onwards, you will see Krishna's answer. That is Sri Bhagavan Vacha, verse 17 onwards. After those verses were spoken, when Uddhava heard the reply from Krishna, Uddhava felt, I shouldn't have asked this question. That's how he was put into that situation. Because, as I said before, question was one thing, the answer was completely different from the question. And, as I said before, that the system that all the great sages have followed in the Upanishads, in Bhagavatam also, is the same system. That answering questions is not the tradition. They don't believe in that. Because questions are coming, why? It is because of the disturbed mind or disturbed intelligence. That's where all these questions are coming from. The truth, what is inside, has to be realized first. That is the goal, isn't it? Krishna is present inside as the soul, everyone. And without self-realization, we are asking questions. So when Uddhava asked all these questions to Krishna, Krishna didn't care to answer any of those questions. So that's why you find here, Uddhava felt that I shouldn't have asked this question. First of all, I shouldn't have mentioned this to Krishna. He felt in that way. You can see that later when it comes from Krishna. Someone said after the class that I have no doubts, everything is clear, he said. So I said, so he says to him, that I have no questions. He says, no. Why? Because I didn't understand anything, he said. So there's no questions also, isn't it? Only if you understand, there is some questions will come. Unfortunately, these coming verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very difficult to explain it. For many people, it's also very, very hard to explain that. Because it is such a deep subject. And therefore, the Krishna also took the same, after all, it is related to completely to knowing the self. That's what it's all about. Krishna's point was, if you keep on asking questions and I keep answering them, that's not going to get anywhere at the end. That's not going to get anywhere at the end. On the other hand, who is asking this question? Where is this coming from? And if you find out the origin, who has Uddhava, he says, Krishna says to Uddhava, that who is doubting, who has all these doubts, if you find out who it is, he is called the Jiva. Jiva is that person who has got all these doubts in him. So, Krishna started talking about him, we talked about that last Sunday also, said, suddenly he wakes up, who Jiva wakes up inside, isn't it? In the morning when he wakes up, the Jiva starts his activities. And he stands there that up to that point he has no doubts. Doubts didn't exist in the deep sleep state. Only when he woke up, all these doubts have come to him. So that means where were all the doubts in the deep sleep state? It didn't exist. So where did the... It shows that only when this individual false ego developed in the morning, when we woke up, only then the doubts also developed. Before that there were no doubts. Which shows that there is a strong relationship between the individual false ego and the questions. That's coming from the person. It is there from, it is all coming from. That as soon as the Jiva, which is a conditioned soul, who is thinking that I am a separate entity, I have no connection with Krishna, I am separate. And I have my own identity and I am somebody different. And then all the identification that has gone along with that has created all these doubts inside the mind. And that's where all the questions are coming from. So where does all the questions originate? The questions originate from the false ego. When the false ego developed, naturally along with that the mind came. And with the mind, Chittavritti has started. And with all the thoughts that's going through the mind, they start controlling us. And immediately we start thinking, oh, we have so many questions to ask. So, identification with that Jiva as a false ego, as we identify with that, immediately we have questions. As soon as we lose our identity with that false ego, Vyakti Abhimanam, it's called the individual false ego, as long as we have identification with that, immediately everything, as soon as the identification starts, immediately questions also starts. Also, you have to remember, without this false identity, with the identity with the false ego, you cannot experience this world. This world is existing for us in the way it is today. Because why? Because we have this identification with ourselves as a false ego, as an individual separate identity, away from everything. And then we are relating with the world from that platform, we are looking at everything. So therefore, as long as we have that individual existence of the false ego identity with us, we will also have the existence of the material world. Material world is existing because of our false ego is existing. If the false ego is not existing, material world doesn't exist. It's not something that we have to continuously mourn about. What we have to mourn about is our own false ego inside. It is this false ego that's giving the shape of this creation in front of us as a material existence to all of us. That as soon as you take away false ego from a person, if he loses the false ego, for him, material world doesn't exist anymore. He does not see any differences because of the identity that Krishna says all that in the next few verses. So these few verses, what we are going to start from now, that is from verse 17 to verse 24, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, they are very, very important verses. If you understand those verses very well, the next chapter will be easy to follow. If you have not understood these seven verses, then the next chapter will be also equally difficult. Very, very difficult. Why is it like that? That also, let me say, why is it? Actually, as I mentioned before, Ekadasha Skandam is Upanishad's knowledge. Upanishad summarized is Ekadasham. The same what Krishna is going to talk about is coming from Kathopanishad. A lot of it is from Kathopanishad. Plus, Kathopanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Out of these three, the first creation is Kathopanishad in this world. Then came Bhagavad Gita. So the same thing what Krishna is going to speak here in these seven verses came in the Bhagavad Gita as the 15th chapter. If you take 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and look at it, you will see the message is exactly the same what Krishna is going to talk in the next seven verses. We discussed the 15th chapter before in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? When we discussed Bhagavad Gita, we discussed that 15th chapter, Purushottama Yogam, it is called Yoga of the Supreme Person. Srila Prabhupada has given that title in that way. Very, very difficult chapter. I'm sure you have heard that or read it, and I don't know what all you have understood from that, but you may have understood so many different things must have come out of it. There is a tree which is standing upside down, the roots are all upwards, the branches are downwards, the leaves are reflecting in the water, and all these sort of things in there, in that, isn't it? And that has come from Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad is the source. Krishna has taken that from Kathopanishad and put that in the Bhagavad Gita. And the same thing Krishna brought back again here in the Bhagavatam. So if we don't understand that topic well, this particular topic, it's a very, very deep subject also. It is a difficult thing to explain, very difficult to explain, very difficult to understand also, very difficult to understand also. And understand means not understanding with the mind, but difficult to realize it. That's what I mean. Difficult to realize it, because it all looks very sophisticated to us when we hear the explanation Krishna is going to give from now on. So that's why these seven verses is we have to keep on discussing. We have already gone through these verses once. I don't know whether you would remember. If you were reading Bhagavatam, you will remember. But if you're not reading Bhagavatam, you won't remember. Whatever I may say, you will just say, yeah, it will go like that. But that's no good. If you have to study Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to take the book and sit there and start reading and think through it. Otherwise, where will this understanding come? It is not going to happen. It's not story. Story is all right. You can change it here and there and things can understand in a different way. But this science of Krishna consciousness, what Krishna is saying here, is something very deeply one should analyze it and think through it and get to accept it inside, because otherwise it's very difficult to go further than after this in the Bhagavatam. So we discussed all these verses before. If you remember, it was probably early January when we went through these verses once. That time we mentioned about, what did we say? Sridharacharya Swamiji says about that in the Bhagavatam commentary, that the how the jiva originated, isn't it? Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, the four forms of the sound. Vaikari related to Jagrat state. Madhyama relates to Sotnam state. And Pashyandi related to Sushupti state. And Para relates to Turiyam state, or the realized state. Realized state. So there, Sri Rajari Swamiji says about that, that the Sridharacharya Swamiji says about that, that the origin of the jiva, he is discussing that there, how the jiva has come out from the hole, dvaram, sayesha jivo vivara prasuti, that appearance of the jiva in its origin, and along with that, how with the association with the pranan, with the life air, how jiva, pranan, and then the sound, shabdam and pranan. Bhagavatam is a very, very complex book. If you look into it, you will see some of the statements in the Ekadasham has discussed before also by different devotees. in their glorifications you will find now and then mentioned these points very much. And when you see that connection, what the Chitragedu has spoken or Prahlada has spoken with Ekadasha Skandam, you can appreciate that the truth is, it is always the same. It doesn't change. So it is important that to, if you want to understand means if you want to get a grasp of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is important to read it, think about it, and keep hearing more and more. And in your own mind, it should continuously be discussed. Otherwise, it is not going to happen, because it's a very difficult subject what Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses. So, when you see that a same subject is discussed in the Kathopanishad, discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, discussed in the Ekadasha Skandam, you can imagine how important it should be. That Krishna has given so much importance to it, that Krishna expects us to understand it and to realize that, because that is a big eye-opener to us. Many, many things what we have misunderstood will go away when we see Krishna's these verses in the Bhagavatam. So that is one important thing. Then, when you study these verses, you can look at them in two different ways. One, from the point of view of bhakti. If it is purely bhakti platform you are looking at it, then you may not have to go into such depth of trying to understand it. But from the Jnani's platform, they are more complex. Very, very complex verses they are. Because after all, Kathopanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, they all talk about that and as the very fundamental principles of the spiritual life. So from Jnani side as well as from the devotee side or a bhakta side, they are important. But therefore, because it is a very complex subject, quite often you will find the commentaries written are in a very light-hearted way, without touching too deeply into the subject. They will just write it on the surface and then they move on to the next verse. They are not given much of an importance, because in a devotee's case, often we may not have to go to that depth to know. What is the difference between a bhakta and a jnani? That also if you have to know why it is different. The difference is this. A devotee first surrenders to Krishna. And then Krishna gives him the knowledge. Krishna gives the understanding. At some point one has to understand whether it's a jnani or a bhakta. He has to understand this science. So devotee first surrenders to Krishna and Krishna gives him all the understanding after that. A jnani understands everything first and then he surrenders. So is there any difference between the two? Practically they are doing the same thing, but it is done in a little different way, two different ways. A devotee first surrenders to Krishna everything without any ego inside, without any selfish motive, completely offers himself and everything to Krishna. Due to the surrender, when the surrender is proper and complete, Krishna gives him all the realization he needs. That is the devotee's position. Jnani's position, he tries to understand everything through his individual effort and taking mercy from Krishna. And when he understands Krishna, he surrenders there. So one way or the other, we have to surrender to Krishna. So whether as a jnani, whether as a bhakta, you have to surrender to Krishna. So in a devotee's case, surrender is the key. If there is no surrender, whatever we may do in spiritual life, it will all just remain as a will-o'-the-wisp or the flower in the sky. It won't work, because the key to bhakti is surrender. You take any great acharyas in the bhakti tradition, Ramanujacharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, look at their songs, you can see they only talk about one thing, surrender. Without surrender, there is no bhakti. That is the first key to that. And that we know is not easy, isn't it? When we talk about, we can talk about it, but when it comes to surrender, it is a different situation altogether, isn't it? So therefore you can see when our bhakti has not developed, people ask this question. All the time people are asking the same question. I've chanted 16 rounds for so many years. What has happened, they say? But the surrender has not happened. What can you do? So that surrender is the key to bhakti. That's one thing. For jnani, shraddha is the key. Shraddha means, what is shraddha means? Shraddha means we discussed, isn't it, before. Shraddha means that shastrasya guru vakyasya satya buddhyavadharana sa shraddha. That is the definition. That means absolute faith in the shastram. Absolute faith. Only then you can study shastram seriously. If you have no faith, if you are testing shastram with our intelligence and mind, it won't get anywhere. So first thing, absolute, implicit faith in the shastram. Shastrasya plus guru vakyasya, in the instructions of the spiritual master. Words of the spiritual master. Satya buddhya avadharana. Avadharana means that it is, that's the only truth. Nothing else is truth in this world. That kind of acceptance inside. Today we accept everything else as the truth, but when it comes to shastram, we have all the doubts, isn't it? But it's the other way. When you have no doubts in the shastram, but all other things is nothing but a product of maya, when we have accepted it that way, then that is shraddha, that kind of shraddha. So shraddha is the key for knowledge, and surrender, sharanagati, is the key for bhakti. So this is the important thing to remember, that both are ultimately taking to the same destination. Surrender is the key. At the end it will happen. When you understand Krishna's glories, ultimately all you can say is one thing, to surrender to him. That is jnani. A devotee understands that, and he surrenders to Krishna without any questions, any doubts. He simply surrenders to Krishna every moment. Result of that is Krishna fills him with all the knowledge what he need to know about him. Krishna gives that knowledge to him. So this is the little difference. So going back to these verses, Krishna is saying there that we saw earlier when we discussed this one time, we have went through these verses. All these verses we went through once. And we spoke a few things about it at that time. Isn't it? Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. And then Krishna also said that pranena goshena guham pravishta shri bhagavan uvacham sa esha jivo vivara prasuti pranena goshena guham pravishta manomayam sushma ubhetya rupam matrasvaro varna idistavishtaham സങ്കൽപ്പ വിജ്ഞാനം അധാഭിമാനം സൂത്രം രജസത്വതമോ വികാരാഃ അയം ഹ ജീവസ്ത്രിവിദബ്ജയോനി അവ്യക്തമേകോ വയസാ സമാദ്യം വിശ്ലിഷ്ട ശക്തിർ ബഹുദേവ ഭാതി ബീജാനി യോനിം പ്രതിപദ്ധയവദ്യദ്വദ് യസ്മിൻ ഇദം പ്രോതമശേഷമോദം പടോ യഥാ തന്തുവിധാന സംസ്ഥാഹ ഏഷ സംസാരതരു പുരാണ കർമാത്മക പുഷ്പഫലേ പ്രസൂദേ ദേവസ്യ ബീജേ ശതമൂല ത്രിനാള പഞ്ചസ്കന്ധ പഞ്ചരസ പ്രസൂദിഃ ദശൈക ശാഖോ ദ്വിസുവർണനീട ത്രിവൽക്കലോ ധിവലോർക്കം പ്രവിഷ്ടാഃ അദന്തി ചൈകം ഫലമസ്യ ഗൃധ്ര ഗ്രാമേചര ഏകമരണ്യവാസാഃ ഹംസായമേകം ബഹുരൂപമിജ്ജേർ മായാമയം വേദസ വേദവേദം ഏവം ഗുരുവാസനൈക ഭക്ത്യ വിദ്യാകുഠാരേണ ശിഥേന ധീരാഃ വിവൃശ്ച ജീവാശയമ പ്രമത്ത സമ്പദ്യജാത്മാനമഥ ത്യജാസ്ത്രം. സോ ഫ്രം ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഫ്രം 17-24, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് spoken to Uddhava in answer to the doubt what Uddhava has raised to Krishna. So Krishna is saying there to Uddhava, it's a very difficult verses to discuss also, but we will try. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this, that when the jiva has come, the Sayesha Jivo Vera Prasudi, that Jiva has developed, and in the result of that was that Jiva has started experiencing the material modes of nature. Three modes of nature has also joined him. So when Jiva developed, you notice there in that verses Krishna is saying here, Manomayam Sushma Ubhetya Rupam, that as soon as the Manomayam means that the or when the mind has originated inside, first the false ego develops and then the mind develops, isn't it? Mind has taken birth. When the mind takes birth, when we say takes birth, the mind is come into existence. For mind has come into existence. What does that mean? Continuous thought starts coming through the mind. Continuously, thoughts start coming through the mind. And when the thoughts are developed inside, that's where the doubts have also come from. That's what Krishna is saying. So all the questions are coming from that point. All this has happened after the individuality or the false ego has come into existence. So that is the first thing to remember. Then, I mentioned also another thing, that in the process of this development of the mind, the jiva, when it comes through that hole, when we say the hole, as I told you before, that you have to remember this, that in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke this 15th chapter, he took it from Kathopanishad and put it there. Urdhva Moolam Atho Shakha. Urdhva Moolam means all the roots are upwards. Atho Shakha, all the branches are downwards. Isn't it? That tree, you remember? The tree, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita? Ashwatha tree. Ashwatha tree means the banyan tree. Prahu avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavil. Krishna started the 15th chapter with this verse talking to Arjuna. So what Krishna says to Arjuna there is chandamsi yasya parnani, that all these leaves and in the tree are chandas. Chandas is the Vedic hymns. Yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavil. In a very condensed form, Krishna says, one who understands this, he has understood the Vedas. That's how Krishna puts it in the Bhagavad Gita. So, that having said that, and it is the same verse appears in exactly the same verse appears in Kathopanishad. So, naturally, like many other verses, Krishna has taken from Kathopanishad and used that in the Bhagavad Gita also. The same verses come in. Now, after that, when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has given a little bit more expanded way that he has spoken here in these verses. And if you see that, the Krishna's explanations on that, that Pancha Tanmatras. Tanmatras, what are they? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. Isn't it? These five things which we have, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These in its very subtle form are called Tanmatras. In their subtle form they are called Tanmatras. They are connected with the five material elements. Isn't it? You know that. Five material elements are connected with these five Tanmatras. For example, what is the connection with the tanmatras and the earth? The smell is the tanmatra of earth. Earth's quality in its subtle form is smell. Earth's quality in subtle form is smell. Similarly, others also. The air in its subtle form is touch, sparsham. And the water in its subtle form is rasam, the taste. Isn't it? And sound in its subtle form is sky. Sky in its subtle form is sound. Or in other words, these tanmatras and the five material elements, they are closely connected to each other. Yeah. So when you look at the creation, you will see, Krishna says these things. In the Bhagavatam, if you look at the third canto, you will see there, that how this creation happened, how Pancha Tanmatras came, and then the Panchabhudams came, five material elements. And then Krishna also talks about, at that time, Sudeva Goswami talks to Parikshit Maharaj, how the Panja Indriyams, the five senses have come, which are also connected with these Tanmatras, isn't it? So Panja Tanmatras, Panja Bhudams and Panja Indriyams, they're all connected to each other. It's all very subtle inside and sometimes difficult to understand it properly, what does that connection mean? For us, we don't, because we are so gross in our understanding, some of these things are difficult to it doesn't click in our mind. How does it work, all these things, isn't it? Anyway, if you understand this much, it's good enough at the moment. That Shabdas Parsha Ruba Rasa Gandham, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and then the five senses of knowledge, they are all connected to each other. They're all connected to each other. So, having said that, Krishna is saying here that the pranena goshena guham pravishta, that guha or the cave inside, the soul is inside there, and as soon as this thought developed inside that I am jiva, jiva's nature has developed inside, what is happening to him is that pranena goshena guham pravishta. As if you remember, we spoke about this before, that there is inside what is chalanam. Chalanam means, when does this happen? From Brahman, when there is a movement inside, a chalanam happens inside, it is from that the Brahman changes happens. Movement happens from the Brahman, and then the Shabdam comes out. Shabdam. Shabdam Brahman. That's called Shabda Brahman. Now, if you look into the sixth canto of Bhagavadam, when our Chitragedu went to see Lord Balaram, isn't it? In the Vaikuntha planet. There, Balaram says to Chitragedu, I have two forms, he says. Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamo Abhe Shashwadi Tanu. They says to Lord Balaram, he says to Chitragedu, I have two forms. One is Shabda Brahmam and the other one is Parabrahmam. Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamo Abhe Shashwadi Tanu. Both of them are my eternal forms, he says. Both of them are my eternal forms. Which one? Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. Both are my eternal forms, says Lord Balaram to Chitragedu. And if you read through that, we'll come to that later. When you read through that, you will see there that Chitragedu understood that Shabda Brahmam is a sound vibration, isn't it? So that Shabda Brahmam has been with us. That's from our origin has come. When the Brahmam has a chalanam or movement inside, from that Shabda Brahmam, Shabdam came out. And that Shabdam, which is as Paranadam, it is called. Nadam, or in other words, they also call it as Spodam. Spodam. These are the words in the Shastram. So, Spodam happened, and that is inside us. That Spodam. That developed into grosser and grosser form. In the most subtle form in Spodam, it is called Para. Then it becomes Pashyandi. How do you know Pashyandi? Pashyandi is the sound what you hear in your deep sleep. You may wonder, how can you hear deep sleep some sound? But it is there. Shastram is telling us, we have to accept that. If we have, in deep sleep, if somebody wakes you up, you wake up immediately, isn't it? So there is a connection there with the sound and your deep sleep there. In the deep sleep state, the only thing that you can experience is the sound out of all the senses. In the deep sleep state, if somebody gives you sweet rice, you won't relish that, would you? You won't know what is going on. But if somebody wakes you up in the deep sleep, you will wake up. So that means you are linked somewhere with the Shabda Brahmam through the sound. Shabda Brahmam, you are linked even in the deep sleep state. So therefore, that sound which is in the deep sleep is called para Shabdam. Shabdam is called para, the origin, when it originates from us. No, it's called Pashyandi. Pashyandi means there you are actually seeing the sound. Para is the stage before that, before you have come to the deep sleep state. So para sound, which has entered inside, in the three states, it is known as Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. Pashyandi, it means there you are actually seeing the sound. You are not hearing it, but you are actually seeing the sound in that Pashyandi state. And then it comes to the mind, when it comes to the mind, that is in your dream state, it is known as Madhyama. And when it comes to the awakened state, it is called Vaikari. By the time it comes through your lips. So it has become the gross form. So Krishna is saying here that pranena goshena guham pravishta. So when jiva with the shabdam, with the sound, he enters inside guham pravishta. that he enters into that cave inside with the soul. And at that point, the jiva has taken birth. Jiva's form has come about. And from then onwards, all what he is doing is as a jiva. He is acting as a jiva. So then, manomayam sushma upetya rupam. This is important. Manomaya means that with the influence of the mind, under the control of the mind, you have accepted some identity here in this world. You have accepted some identity, and that can be anything, depending on our karma vasanas and the chitta vritti that is happening inside. You will accept some identity here: husband, wife, man, woman, Englishman, Indian, or whatever identity you take it. That will come at that point. Some identity will develop. So identity comes like this. Manomayam sushma uvedi rupam. That form you will accept it at that time. Matra swaro varna iti stavishta. That swaram varnam. That means the, as you know, this is a complex subject, because later on you will see the same thing discussed in the 21st chapter. 21st chapter of Ekadasha Skandam will discuss this topic again, where Sridharacharya Swamiji explains that in detail, what is this swaram, varnam and matra and all that, and how the different words are formed. A lot of technicalities are mentioned at that point. We'll discuss it at that when we come to that time. But if we understand this much, that shabdam is our part of us. Sound is a part of us. With the jiva has got this quality of sound inside. And along with the sound, also something else joins there, which is, as soon as it becomes a jiva, it has got what is known as pranan. Pranan is joining at that point. So pranan shabdam joins the jiva from inside. And then with the mind, help of the mind, it develops the form inside. What he is, he takes an identity at that time. Inside, he makes some identity he takes. Before that, he had no identity. Himself, he had no identity. So once he accepts some identity, then everything becomes a lot easier. All the other tanmatras and all the other material elements, senses, they all start getting activated one after the other. It all happens in a much, much subtle level, which we are not even conscious of. That's why we don't think about all these things, because we are not aware of any of these things, isn't it? So that's why I'm saying, these verses, what Krishna has spoken here, if you can accept it completely, wholeheartedly, it'll become easier to follow the next chapter. It is the same thing. It should not remain as a unknown, or we don't understand all these things, or it's not clear to us. If you keep saying that, that means Bhagavad Gita also you have to keep reading again then. The 15th chapter is nothing but a discussion of all these things, what Krishna is going to say now. Yadana lakhe nilabandhu roshvam velena darunyati madhyamanam anuprajado havisha samidhyade tadhaivame vyaktiriyam hivani. Then, through an example, Krishna is trying to explain to us that yadana lakhe nilabandhu roshvam, that just like there is fire inside the wood, there is fire inside. And when you churn the wood from there, with the help of air, that one spark starts making the fire to grow bigger and bigger, and the whole wood starts burning, isn't it? When the air enters inside the wood, or with the help of the air, one small spark makes the whole wood start burning. In the same way, this thing called pranan, which is the air in this case, with the help of pranan, the soul inside immediately starts manifesting in this world through the senses, through the mind, all because of the presence of pranan inside. That's the role of pranan. Pranan creates this situation for us that we are able to do so many things. The energy, where is this coming from? It's coming from pranan, isn't it? Pranan is the source behind it. So with the help of pranan, the jiva takes the shape of an identity, and after the identity, it starts operating through its senses and the five material elements and also tanmatras. Everything falls into its operation, and eventually it becomes a full unit, and it perceives this material world in this way as it is perceiving today, as we are all perceiving today. But prior to this, all these things have happened before we have reached that stage. That's why Krishna says, Anuprajado Anuprajado Havisha Samidhyade Tadaivami Vyaktiriyam Hi Vani Tadaivami Vyaktiriyam Hi Vani. All these things have started from where? It started from Krishna. It all started from Krishna. And now we are always thinking that I have nothing to do with Krishna. Krishna is somebody different. We are somebody different. And all my job is to continuously ask Krishna for whatever I want, and he has to keep giving me whatever I want. Everything is wonderful then. This is how we have developed this thinking like that. But what Krishna is saying there, if somebody starts seeing things in this perspective, that the whole thing started from Krishna originally. Everything started from Krishna. And then it started form of Jiva, and from Jiva, through the help of Shabdam, and through the help of Pranan, it has started further growing. And ultimately Krishna is saying, all that you find in this whole creation is nothing but Krishna's different forms. That's existing there. Nothing but Krishna. Krishna is existing in changing form all the time. Keeps changing, and it comes to this thing what we see today. And this is also constantly changing, which we are not fully aware of, isn't it? The body is changing. While we are talking now and you are listening also, you can see your body is changing, my body is changing. Even the scientists agree with that. They say that all the cells in the body gets replaced within a 7 years' time. Completely. That's a scientific, modern science theory. Anyway, right or wrong, we can take it this way, that it is changing. Constantly changing. So this changing nature, where has this come from? That is there in the creation. It is Krishna's creation is like that. Krishna himself keeps on changing, and all these things is existing as we are seeing today. But we think, under the influence of Maya, that all these things are permanent and it will stay like this. This is our illusion inside us. That is the power of Maya Krishna is talking about. That, and all these changes are happening under the three modes of nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. So when that is happening, Krishna says that if one understands that this Shabda Pravancham means this material creation of coming from the sound, Shabda Pravancham it's called. Shabda Pravancham, Krishna is saying here, is nothing but another transformation of me. Krishna says, my own transformation is this Shabda Pravancham. That is what the first thing Krishna is talking about. Then, after that, Matra Svarovarna Idi Stavishtaha. That, as much as it is expanding in the form of this world, it's becoming gross and gross, more gross. Everything what Krishna is trying to make us understand is that if you understand the subtlety of the whole thing, then the gross things you will not be captivated by the gross world. That is Krishna's point. If you understand the subtlety of where everything has originated from, Krishna says, if you understand that, then the gross thing has no, because this is only a transformed state, isn't it? Its origin is something else. From there it kept on transforming. It has come to this state, what it is today. So Krishna says that if you understand the subtle things behind it, Matra Sarovarna Idi Stavishtaha, that everything as it becomes from Sushmam comes Stulam. That's the principle. From Sushmam means subtle, from them comes Stulam, the gross form. That comes from the... So, spiritually, a person who wants to advance spiritually, he should be looking for the subtle thing, Sushmam thing, not the Stulam. Stulam means the gross. Sushma means the subtle one. The subtle thing is that what matters. Isn't it? Even if you take our body, the gross body, we can see it, we can touch it, we get sick, we take medicines, we get cured, all these kind of things happen to the gross body. But subtle body we can't even see. But we all know very well there is something very subtle inside, because the whole material body doesn't react the way we want it, isn't it? In spite of your best advancement in the science and medicine, still they are all perplexed about this body. Everybody will admit that. That even doctors, scientists, they all say, how does this body work really? They know a lot of things about the body, what to do with it when it gets into an accident, how to operate and all kinds of things they do. But the no science, no medicine, medical authorities can say very precisely that this is how that body works. This is how the how this body functions in this world. Why is that? Because there is something subtle behind it. That subtle thing they don't know. They know the gross side of it, but the subtle thing is difficult to know. So that's why the subtle thing is more important in everything. Sushmam. Sushma vedi rupam. Krishna says the sushmatvam is more important than the sthulatvam. Sthulatvam is not important. Sthulam is the transformed state. So, having said that, Krishna says here that the talked about the Agnis Pulingam, isn't it? He says here, Ithanala Kenila Bandhur Ushmam. That just like the fire, with the help of the air, how it grows and becomes a blazing fire. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that the jiva also, with the help of pranan, through the mind and through the senses, material and senses, it grows and starts experiencing this world. That is how it develops. So, then he says here, evam gadi karma gadir visargaha. Grano resodrix parsha shutischa sangalpa vijnanam adhabhimanam sutram raja sattvamo vigara. We seen that verse also last time. Talked about that. We said that karma jnanendriyam, all the senses of knowledge develops, all the senses of action develops, which we have spoke about last Sunday, you know, how that develops. And then after that, karmam, action begins. And gadir visargam and granam rasam, the five material senses, how they operate, and then the activities of the mind, sangalpam, vijnanam, the knowledge, tam adha abhimanam, that means the pride that the living entity develops. When all these things start functioning properly, we feel very proud about it, isn't it? That's how our pride, identity and all that builds up like this. When we have fallen into the bodily concept of life, it is because all the systems are working very well. All the five senses are working. The mind is working. The intelligence is working. Everything is working well in the body. So we start thinking, I am somebody important now. The jiva, the tiny jiva, which has nothing to be proud of, suddenly starts thinking very proud, and very the false ego is very strong inside, and it has taken a very strong identity as well. All these things have happened afterwards, not in the beginning. So that's why Krishna is saying, Sangalpa Vijnanam Adhobhimanam and Sutram Rajas Sattva Tamo Vigaram. As though this is not sufficient, three modes of material nature also joins him. So you can imagine what havoc it creates at that point. Three modes of nature, all the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and the senses of knowledge and action, gross body. All together, it becomes a very complex phenomenon as we are today. And then we feel strongly, oh, I am this, I am that, and everything that connected with that comes from there, isn't it? So this identity Krishna is talking about, how it develops, that's what Krishna is saying here. If that doesn't go, then he says, I am hi jivastri abjayoni, vyakte avyaktam ego vaisasa madhyaha. Then, avyaktam ego vaisasa adhyaha. Krishna says, it slowly started developing in this way. And it comes out from us, this identity, in this way. With the help of all these things together, that identity we have built up very slowly, it has come about in that way. It has come about in the way. Then, when it comes through the senses outwardly, Yasman nidam pradam ashesha odam. It says here in the next verse, isn't it? Yasman nidam pradam ashesha odam pato yata tandu vidana samstaha esha samsara daru purana karmalpagam pushpa phale prasute. That is an important verse. Krishna says that the just like if you make a cloth by spinning with the thread, it is only the thread that makes the cloth, isn't it? If you remove all the thread from there is no cloth existing. Krishna says, this whole creation is existing today because it is like a cloth which has been woven with Krishna. Krishna is in this whole creation. Like a cloth which is made of threads, different threads. Odha pradham. Odha pradham means odham is like this, pradham is the other way. when they make the cloth, you have seen that, isn't it? That they have in the looms, power looms, they have that thing, and which pulls all the thread in one direction and all the thread in the opposite direction, in this direction. So when they all merge together, then you get the cloth. Similarly, Krishna is saying that with the way the whole creation has happened, it's me who is in present in that, in both directions. Yasmin idam pradam asesham adam. Then he says here, padho yada tandu vitana samstaha ya esha samsara daru puranaha and karmatmakam pushpaphale prasude. Krishna says that it is there that the samsara vriksham, the tree of material existence, have started. Tree of material existence has started at that point. And it creates flowers and the fruits. What is that? The material existence. So material world has come into existence, and the jiva who is caught up in this material world, he would experience happiness and distress here. He would experience happiness and distress. Krishna says that it creates two kinds of things, bhogam and moksham. Bhogam and moksham. Karmatmakam pushpa phale prasude. Pushpam is the bhogam. Bhoga means enjoyment. And liberation or moksham is the phalam or the fruit. Pushpa phale prasude. So pushpam and pushpam and phalam. That means bhogam and moksham. Sense enjoyment and liberation. These two things are possible in this creation. That's all you can do. You can do only these two things. Either you can enjoy senses here to the maximum, whatever you like, you can do it. Or you have the other option of liberation is possible in this creation. These two things can be done here, Krishna says. Therefore, they are the two fruits what this material existence creates. Pushpa phale prasude. So, esha samsara daru puranaha. This tree, samsara vriksham, or the tree of material existence, is very, very old, Krishna says. It's not started today. You can't even put a date for this, when this has begun. It's been like this from the time immemorial. We can't even put a date for that. That's why Krishna calls it as Puranam. And Purana means no beginning practically. It has been like this. What is that? This samsara vriksham. Samsara vriksham means the tree of material existence. So this material existence has been like this, created from the beginning. And Krishna is saying, samsara vrishtaru puranaha karmal magam. And in order to do that here, in this beauty of this samsara vrisham of material existence is its karmal magam. The only thing everyone has to get involved here is karma. So you see how everything is connected to each other. Karma is connected with us, with our senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, material body, and our activities, and the results which comes from either sense enjoyment or liberation. So they are all connected to each other. So that's why Krishna says, karmatmakam pushpa phale prasude. So it will, and it is anadi. Anadi means it has no beginning. It has been like this from time immemorial. So, now, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, if you remember, that you see that tree upside down, isn't it? In the 15th chapter, if you look, the tree is spoken as upside down. So there, the difference is this, that this is difficult to understand this, because it is spoken like this, that the tree is standing on the bank of the lake. If you look into the water, the tree is upside down, isn't it? The tree is upside down in the water. That means the roots are upwards and the branches are downwards. That's what Krishna has spoken in the 15th chapter also. So similarly, Krishna says that in the reflection in the water, you are seeing the tree upside down. Reflection in the water, you are seeing the tree upside down. So the root of the tree, where is the root of the tree? When you look at the tree, the root is somewhere, we don't see the root, do we? We don't, it's underneath the ground. But when you look into the tree in the water, You see the tree, but if you look where is the root, you can't find that root there. Similarly, this tree, which is called the samsara vriksham, or tree of material existence, has a root. You may think that it's not a tree you can see, isn't it? That is the beauty of that tree. It's a tree which you can't see. It is only spoken in this way to make it easy for us to understand this. That means our material existence, it has got a root somewhere. It has got a root somewhere. And the root, Krishna is saying here, as long as you keep looking outwards, you won't see the root, you will only see the tree. You understand? If your vision is always directed towards the manifested world, Krishna is saying, you won't see the root. If you want to see the root, Krishna's point is, if you want to see the root, you have to close your eyes towards this thing, what is manifested outwardly. What is manifested outwardly. Therefore, where is the root? Where is it? It is inside us. That's the beauty of this. That the whole thing, what we are seeing outside, the root of that is inside us. It is inside us. So, Krishna is saying here that, for example, we have connection with many, many people in this world, isn't it? Husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, son, daughter. All different personalities, we have connections, isn't it? Correspondingly, one of their subtle form is inside all of us have got. It's something difficult to understand. Everyone we are relating in this world, wherever we have ragam and dvesham, not everybody. Only if you have raga dvesham, you can connect with somebody. When you deal with anyone in this world, either you have to have attachment for that person, or you have to have aversion towards that person. That's why Krishna says, raga dvesham vimuktaistu. Bhagavad Gita, remember that. That ragam and dvesham is what actually creates a bond between two individuals or two living entities. Either you like him or you don't like him. If you don't like him, then there will be aversion inside. Some hate will build up. If you like him, there will be some attachment or ragam will build up. If you don't have attachment or aversion through somebody, then it's fine. Then he will not stay inside. So everyone in this world with whom we have ragadvesham. Ragadvesham means mainly the family members, the social society, or people whom you are dealing on a regular basis. All these things, one of their subtle form is existing within us. Their subtle form is existing within us. That's always there. What we are seeing outside is, when we are interacting with the super soul inside, the communion is taking place between us and the super soul inside. And that we are misunderstanding as the relationship with the personalities outside. I don't think it will get through to anybody's mind. It's not easy. It's difficult to understand. Unless you sit and analyze this in depth, it won't come through. Krishna says here, that there is a sushma rupam. Sushma means extremely subtle aspect of everyone is inside us, with whom we have ragadvesham. Only then, otherwise not. Because people whom we don't know, whom we have no connections, neither attachment nor aversion, that won't matter because they don't exist in us. But whomever you have connections, say for example, as I mentioned, all family members with whom you have connections, isn't it? Husband, wife, children, granddad, grandmother, grandfather, all uncle, aunt, any relations if you take, one of their subtle form, sushma rupam, is inside us, already existing inside each one of us. And it will be different for everybody, isn't it? Each one of them according to their connections with the world. That's what Krishna is saying there. Then it's just like this. that sushma form inside is when it is projected outside, that is the gross form what you are seeing outside. Just like, you know, in the film is running, right? And when the light is projected through the film, that sushma thing what is in the film comes out in the screen as in the gross form, isn't it? You see the gross form. So all these personalities, individuals whom you are relating in this world, Krishna is saying their sushma form is inside you. We think that only when you see them that he exists there, isn't it? No. You can understand this. It's not very difficult to understand. You see, if this sushma form was not existing, how come you are seeing in the dream state when you are not seeing with the gross eyes? That's the easiest way to understand that. That the same person with whom you have developed some relationship, attachment or aversion, you see him in the dream and you are not seeing him with your eyes, but you are seeing him. That is the proof to say that that person is existing within you in a subtle form, sushma form. See how complex we are. We are not simple as we think about ourselves. We are thinking, oh, I am very straightforward, honest person, I am very simple. And we are not simple. We are very complex phenomenon we are. If you think about this, that this is the point Bhagavatam is telling us. That if you understand this sushmatvam, of the sushmada is important. As much as we recognize that when we are relating with somebody in this world, as much as he is inside you, then you are in trouble. This is Bhagavad Gita is telling this. Remember this we discussed when we talked about second chapter. If you learn the art of not letting anyone get inside, then you have escaped from here. It is the fact of life. It is Krishna's point is that. Why Vedanta philosophy and all, it is not very, it's not based on any, it's not a story that they have built up. It's all based on very much logic and reasoning, and the great sages who have brought this out for our benefit is telling us to guard against these things. That this is how the system works. If you understand that and if you take note of it, you can escape from a lot of misery in this world. Not only in this life, even when you leave the body, you won't carry this garbage with you to the next life as well. What is subtle body mean? Subtle body means all this garbage you have collected like this. That's all the subtle body is all about. Otherwise, the subtle body won't go unless these things are understood properly. So whether you are a devotee or a jnani, it doesn't matter. The rule applies to both of them the same. They are not different. That is Krishna's rules. It's like that. And that rules apply. So if a devotee won't understand this in the beginning, he ignores all these things. He says, oh, I have nothing to do with me, I'm a devotee. Fine, no problem. And if he surrenders completely, one day Krishna will give him the understanding. That will happen to him. And a jnani understands all these things, and as much as he understands more and more, he surrenders to Krishna. He has no other choice. Because how much we are controlled is what it is. The important point. How much we are controlled from inside. Krishna didn't come and sit inside as the super soul just to watch what we are doing. Everything is completely monitored and completely controlled all the time. So here, that Krishna is saying here that the just like that, the vasanas inside and all these thoughts what we have developed, it has been projected outside, and that is what we are seeing in the gross form outside. And all our interaction with the Antaryami inside, when we are interacting with somebody outside, whether it's wife or husband or children or any other relative for that matter, all that interaction is actually our interaction with the Antaryami inside. That is where we are interacting with him. So when the interaction is going on in this way with our interaction with the super soul inside, it is his manifestation in the gross form that you are seeing outside, in that way, isn't it? I know it has not been understood, I'm sure, because it is not easy to understand. And it takes time, and you have to keep analyzing this, because Krishna is not saying all this in a very jocular mood, he is speaking very seriously. He says these are important factors, that how the jiva, we are talking about jiva now, because we are all jivas, aren't we? So, jiva's situation is like this, that jiva has to know that how we are dealing with this world. We are thinking we deal with people in a way. I've seen him yesterday, we say, and then we think I forgot, left him. No, actually you have seen him, you have created another image inside. That's what. And that image builds up according to your interaction with him. So actually it's one's own communion with oneself is this whole world. This is how the world is existing for us. One's own communion with oneself is this world, ultimately. If there is no communication between you and the super soul inside, this world won't exist for you. We blame the world for everything, isn't it? The world is responsible. But why? Because we allowed the whole world to go in and stay there. And then he is churning out one after the other, all good thoughts, bad thoughts, everything. And then we are saying, I couldn't get sleep last night. How will you get sleep? The whole world is inside. So what to do? So that's what Krishna is saying there, that the ragam and dvesham, through that we have connected with all the other individuals as well. And correspondingly, there is a subtle form of all of them inside us. There is a subtle form of us inside. And that is what is shown outside in a projected form, what you are seeing outside. If this is completely understood means it's realized, then the problem is all solved. Business is over then. This is where the difficulty is. If this is completely realized it properly, then the business is over. There is no more. You realize the self. And what self-realization means this, that at that point you understand that this is my proper relationship with the world. Today we don't know our relationship with the world, isn't it? We want to change the world, we want to improve the world, but the whole world is right inside us, which we have to first deal with. That world hasn't been touched. So here, Krishna says here, that the samsara taru, it has got two seeds, which is known as pavam and punyam, the sinful activities and pious activities. Karmaatmagam pushpaphale prasute. Then, in the next verse, we will see Dve asya bije shatamula trinalaha panjaskandat panjarasa prasuti dashaiga shakho dhisuparna nidhaha trivalkalo dhivalokam pravishtaham. So, Krishna says that shatamulam. Shatamula means hundreds of roots this has got, this tree. Why is it called hundreds of roots it has got? That means hundreds of vasanas inside us. That is how the tree is standing very firm. Material existence, the tree called material existence, is very firmly standing there because it has got very strong roots there. One place it says that depending on how big the tree is, according to that, the root also will go deeper, isn't it? Very big, big trees, they will have very deep roots. Like if you look at big banyan trees, how you will see sometimes huge banyan trees. There, one tree standing here, the root will be somewhere another 50, 100 meters away. Its root will come out from the ground. If you have observed that, big banyan trees, you will see this. So the bigger the tree, the deeper the roots are. The bigger the tree. So bigger the material existence is, the tree of material existence, the deeper the root also. And how will the deep root will be deeper? Shatamulaha. Hundreds of roots it has got, like the banyan trees have got. That's why it's compared to the banyan tree. So these roots are very, very deep, and there are hundreds of them. Shatamulaha. Then Krishna is saying here, Trinalaha Panjaskanda Panjarasa Prasudi. Krishna says that then it has got Trinala. Trinala means what are they? Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. That means goodness, passion and ignorance. These are the three nalaha. And Panjaskandaha. Panjaskanda means that Panjabhudam. That's the five material elements. They are the branches. Panjaskandam. And Panjarasa Prasudi. It produces five kinds of juice from that. What is that? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. The five senses. Five sense enjoyment comes from that tree through these five branches, which is the five material elements. And five kinds of sense gratification we get from that. Five kinds of sense gratification comes from that. So, in these three, if you look, you will see that two birds are sitting on that tree. Again, going back to Upanishads. Krishna is taking us back to the same Upanishad story. What is that? Dvasubarna Saija Sakhaya Samana Vriksham Parishasva Jade Tayuranyam Pippala Swadati Anashtananyu Abhijagashiti. That verse is from the Upanishads. So that same thing Krishna is bringing back. We discussed this also earlier. If you remember, these two birds are sitting on this tree, two birds are sitting. And in the verses in the Upanishads, Krishna didn't specify what kind of birds they are. Have you noticed that? That's why Bhagavatam is a little different there. But message is the same, no difference at all. There, Krishna didn't use the words what he has used in the Bhagavatam. In the Upanishads, when he said, Krishna says there are two birds sitting on the tree. One is Jiva, other one is Ishvara. Krishna is sitting there. And on two branches. One is, they were very close at one time. They were together one time. Then he started jumping from that branch to another branch. When he came to another branch, he saw some fruits there. He started eating them. When he found them sweet, he started jumping to the next branch to get more fruits. So, but the other bird who was sitting there with him did not get involved in anything. He sat there, simply looking at this bird who has left him. And he kept on going down, down, down to the different branches. Wherever he found some sweet fruits, he kept on eating. And whenever he was eating some good fruits, he didn't look back to the other bird. But as soon as he found some fruits which were very bitter, then he stopped eating and started looking at the other bird. So, you know what it is all about, isn't it? Us. It's our story. Krishna is saying in such a nice way so we don't get hurt. That's all it is. Krishna is also telling us that this is how you people are, he says. That we are like this. That we are very funny that way. We'll say all big, big things. But when it comes to enjoying the fruits are concerned, the fruits are tasty, we'll forget Krishna. The fruits are bitter, then we say, let's become serious about Krishna consciousness now. So the bird's activity, that's what Krishna is talking about. So the same thing, Krishna brings it here also. But here, Krishna has spoken a little harsh. Very heavy words he has used there. In the Upanishads, because it was meant for a different class of people, he didn't have to say that. They got the message very quickly. But here in this, Krishna has to speak a little tough words he has used there. So that's what you find there. That Dashaigashako Dvisvarnanidaha Trivalkalo Divalo Orkam Pravishtaha. Krishna says in that verse 22nd, that this body is also the tree where the two birds are sitting. Jiva and Ishvara are sitting there, and it is their residence. They live there. And what else? It has got three different coverings on that. What is that? Air, bile and mucus. Air, bile and mucus. Vata, pitta, kapham. And then it extends right up to Dhipalo Arkam Pravishta. Arkam Pravishta means right up to the sun planet. Right up to the sun planet. Why is it said like that? Because right up to the sun planet, this material existence is there. Material existence is there. Material existence finishes there with the sun planet. At that point it is, then it's only spiritual, completely spiritual understanding. So in our conditioned state, when the living entity is rotating within the world of karma, it is called karma mandalam. Karma mandalam means he has no escape from here. Goes through this cycle upside down all the time. Like Krishna talked about in the Bhagavad Gita as the karma chakram, isn't it? Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvarta yadihaya. So this pravartidam chakram, this wheel of karma is rotating. And we are sitting in one of those, if you go to that London Eye, it has got that thing, isn't it? One cage-like thing you walk in and it keeps going up and down, same thing. So, or if you go to any of these Alton Towers, you will see there buckets-like thing. You sit in there and it goes up and down. So, same thing, we keep on in this karma mandalam. We can't escape from this. Karma is tightly controlling us. So that's what he's saying here. Dhibalo dhibhala arka pravishtaha. This karma mandalam right up to the sun planet it exists. Karma mandalam is a big field. It is within that, unable to free ourselves from that. Because we have neither the devotion nor the knowledge to free ourselves from here. So we are caught up in this cycle and we keep moving back and forth. So after saying that, Krishna says that in this, the root in this body, while we are within this body, if we consider it as a tree, it has got its root, which is ignorance. Ignorance is the root. How strongly Krishna compares that, our ignorance in us, as the root behind this tree, what we are existing today. In other words, our material existence is only due to ignorance. In other words, ignorance is the strong root what we have got here. And and all the senses through which we are enjoying, they are already at the bottom. And in the sense that all the sense enjoyment, I don't know, it is explained in such a way that if you can capture this, it's a poetical expression as well as spoken in a way that it is brought into a comparison with what Krishna is saying here, is that in the body, when you are inside there, the root of your body is based in ignorance. In other words, your existence is based on ignorance. So therefore, that is the root. Then all you are enjoying is your senses. So the senses, sense enjoyment is one of the fruits what you are getting from this tree. So Krishna says that in that fruit, in one of the branches, these two birds are sitting. Two birds are sitting. And one bird is constantly eating the fruits. What does that mean? It means that it is eating the fruits through the eye, through the ears, through the nose, through the touch, through the taste. The five senses. It's eating the fruits. And that is, Krishna is calling us Adha Gridraha. In the next verse, if you see, Adandi chaigam phalamasya gridra grame charame egam aranya vasaha hamsayam egam bhurubamijer mayamayam saveda vedam mayamayam veda saveda vedam. Krishna says that Adandi chaigam phalamasya gridraha, that person who has developed strong sense enjoyment nature, as I mentioned before, remember this, sense enjoyment does not mean gross enjoyment. Please don't think that we are all free from sense enjoyment. We all are enjoying senses all the time in some form or the other. How is that? Because sense enjoyment, when Krishna is talking about, as soon as your mind starts going out through the senses to the world outside and engage in any activity, it becomes sense enjoyment. Yeah? So, as soon as the mind, say you want to watch the television and it's a serial on the television, you are thinking, oh, it's not a big sense enjoyment, it's okay. I'm just watching only a serial for half an hour. It's gone. One gone. Then, as soon as you want to hear, you're walking somewhere, some rap music comes. It's not a bad music. Now devotees are also doing rapping and all that. Maybe Krishna has also changed this policy. Krishna started liking this rap music, probably, I don't know. It's not only for a few minutes. Let me go. This has gone then. Eyes have gone, ears have gone. Then you're walking through one of the, one of those duty-free shops. Through that, you're walking through the airport terminal. Somebody comes to you with, this is a nice perfume, why don't you try this? Give it a chance. The nose has gone that way. Then as soon as you meet a friend, somebody, you have to blame someone else for that, isn't it? So immediately conversation starts, the tongue has gone. And like this, constantly, similarly, if you find something very nice to eat somewhere, a feast or whatever it is, as soon as you find happiness there, the tongue is gone. So all the five senses, in some form or the other, are only telling the mind to take them somewhere. Take them somewhere. And the mind is always ready to go with that. So because it is like that, Krishna is saying that sense enjoyment is all this means. So you can see how difficult it is, sense enjoyment, to stop the sense enjoyment. So when it goes through like that, and if it becomes a permanent habit, permanent nature in anyone, Krishna is saying here, Atagrudraha is an eagle. Eagle. Eagle means that that's a kind of bird. He'll continuously eat. He'll be flying at 30,000 feet high. From there he will look down to this ground, to the earth. But he'll be only looking for one thing. Where's the dead body? Isn't it? He's flying so high, but his vision is so low. He's looking for the worst thing to eat. Well, that's what he wants to eat. So, similarly, Krishna is comparing us, those who are in that state, Krishna is saying, he's a grudra. Grudra means this eagle, like nature. And the other one, he is continuously eating, and that is the jiva. That is the jiva. And Krishna also says there, gramechara. Gramechara means that one who is grudra. Grudra means gramechara. He only engages in sense gratification, nothing else in this world. Nothing else he does or she does except sense enjoyment. There are many people like that. From morning they wake up, right up to they go to bed, there no other thoughts go through their mind, because they are absolutely fixed upon this. Either I have to eat well, sleep well, eating, sleeping, and all other recreation. This way sense enjoyment constantly. So making plans for that if they are not enjoying. Or if they're enjoying, that's also same thing. Making plans and enjoying is on a subtle level it's happening, isn't it? So when all the senses are operating in that level, Krishna calls him as Grudram, Grudraha. And then the other one, Hamsam Egam Aranyavasaha. Next one is Hamsam. That is that person Krishna is referring to, Aranyavasam. Aranyavasam means, why does he call it Aranyavasam? Aranya means where there is no Ranam. Ranam means there is no conflict. There. Those who are enjoying senses or those who are engaged in sense gratification, they will be always disturbed state. Isn't it? They'll always be in a disturbed state. Why? As soon as their sense gratification is interrupted, they get angry. Very angry. They get very angry. So, whereas those who are in the state of hamsam, what Krishna says here, aranyavasa hamsayam egam, that he is hamsam, who one who has no conflicts inside. He has no sense gratification happening inside. Where there is no ranam or conflict is aranyam. Where there is no ranam or conflict is aranyam. So, in other words, now we have to think like this. Inside us, there is one center which is based on our false ego. Isn't it? Which is what normally we identify with. There is another center which is our pure identity as the soul. The soul, pure spirit soul, which is our original identity as Atma. The other identity is the identity with the false ego. The false ego, when you identify with them, is you are a grudram. When you identify with the soul and you are on the spiritual platform, you are a hamsam, swan. That's the difference. Yeah. So Krishna's point is this, that come to the hamsam stage, and that's why you are called paramahamsa. When you come to that stage, you are always paramahamsa stage. Yeah. So Krishna says here, adanti jayigam bhalamasya grudra grame charam eka aranyavasaha. So this false ego, what we have inside as identified with, which we identified with the body, mind, intelligence, these are all the identification with the false ego. That's why this identification is started. So Krishna called it as the ego. That ego, adandi chayigam bhalamasya grudra grame charam ekam aranyavasaha. And Krishna says, grama means senses. Grama means senses. That person who is enjoying the senses, one who is enjoying the senses, his false ego, when he's through, he starts enjoying through the senses. Krishna calls it here as where he is busy with. That means enjoying the sense objects through the senses. when the false ego enjoys that, he is called Gradram, and the person who is witnessing that, he is called Hamsam. He is called Hamsam. One who knows this, or one who has realized it properly, Krishna says he has understood the Vedas. He has understood the Vedas. So, where is Krishna taking us now? Why is Krishna saying all these things to us? Because in the Vedas there is everything. There is Karmagandam, there is Jnanagandam, there is Upasana Kandam. Three different departments in the Vedas. Krishna's point is, unless one has come to the platform of the soul and taken self-realization as the goal of life and is not progressing in that direction, he is still a Gridram and not a Hamsam. For example, many people, they are experts in Karmagandam, isn't it? Karmagandam, they are experts at it. And they engage in Karmagandam activities with the goal of elevating themselves for higher sense gratification in the heavenly planets. Krishna considers us as Gridram. Considers them as Gridram. Only if one engages in spiritual life purely for the sake of self-realization and to understand the higher truth and to come to that state, if he is acting on that, Krishna calls him as Hamsam. Krishna calls him as Hamsam. That is why he says here that one who knows this, he understands the Vedas. He understands the Vedas. So, Saveda Vedam, he has known the Vedas. Now, here, it is not good enough, Krishna says, just by knowing the sound vibration only of the Vedas. Because there are many people who can chant the Vedas very well. They chant the Vedas very well. But they may not understand the meaning of the or the message that is coming through the Vedas. So, Adandi Jaigam Balamasya Gridraha Grame Charamegam Aranyavasaha Hamsayamegam Bahirubam Ijayam Mayamayam Vedasa Veda Vedam. So, he has known Vedas, one who has understood in the most subtle form. And Krishna says, that subtlety of these things one should experience. Not enough if you know from the Shastram, but in a very subtle level, you should see this Gradram and Hamsam inside. Only then it is complete. Not to study from the books and know it. That's not, there is a Hamsam, there is a Gradram there. That's not good enough. Krishna is saying that by cultivating this spiritual knowledge, when you see this Hamsam and Gridram inside everyone, each one of us, then Krishna says that when you start doing that, then you have understood the message of the Vedas. Don't take association, then you won't take association with the Gridram or the eagle, but you will start realizing that I am Hamsam. I am Hamsam. So, Hamsam, Hamsoham. And once we realize that, we'll understand that, strictly speaking, our true nature is Hamsam, not Gridram. At the moment, we are in the no point in taking, Krishna says, simply the shelter of the sound vibration. So, that is what Krishna says, how to reach that state, that is what is in the last verse there. What does Krishna say? Evam guru pasane eka bhaktya vidya kutharena shitena dhiraha vivrishya jivashayam apramataha sampadya chalmana madasya jastram. So, in order to do that, Krishna says that as soon as the point comes to that state, that one realizes that, one develops that spiritual knowledge, what is necessary for that, to understand the Hamsam and Gridram inside, and that experience of that, when we started the spiritual process of trying to understand what Krishna has spoken here in these verses, if you keep on going through this again and again and keep reflecting on that, eventually you will understand that this false ego is not me. It is that Gridram aspect of me. The proper identity is the Hamsam aspect. So when one has come to separate these two things inside and start seeing the swan aspect rather than the eagle aspect of oneself, then Krishna says that that is an experience. With that knowledge, one should completely sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the result of that, he says, Tejastram. He says, Asambadhya Chalpanam Atham Tejastram. Eventually, even that knowledge one has to give up. Krishna says, even that knowledge one has to give up. And you barely become like small children. You become like small children, where there is no more false ego operating inside. Small children don't have false ego, isn't it? You will see that. That is why, if you remember the 24 spiritual masters, one of the spiritual masters which the Dattatreya Maharshi has taken was a small Arbhaga. Arbhaga, he says, isn't it? Prithvi Vairagasham Avogni Chandraman Ravi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Padanga Madhugaja Madhuha Harino Meena Pingala Kuraram Arbhaga. Arbhaga is a little boy. The Dattatreya Maharshi, the great saint in the Ekadasha Skandam, says there that I learned from that child one thing. What did he learn? He learned one thing, that I have to become like him. Come to that state. To become like a child. So what? Why did he say like that? Because he saw, he was observing the child very carefully. Child was playing with some different kinds of toys. And when it was not working, he threw away everything and walked out from there, like normal children do. Yeah. In other words, he had no attachment anywhere. It didn't work, he left it. Never carried with him and thought about it further. Whereas we, if we do anything, what we do? We'll carry it, we won't sleep at night, we'll sleep over it to make the decision in the next morning. Isn't it? So that doesn't exist in the children. Children don't have that. Why? There's no false ego operating inside. The child doesn't have that false ego inside like we have. So that's why it says here, after the knowledge is realized, then the so-called knowledge also has to be left out. It's not important anymore, because you have become like a child then. That's why most of the self-realized souls in this world, when they wander around, they're like children. We say like that, isn't it? They act like children. They have no connection with the enemy because there's no false ego behind it. When they're dealings with the world, there's no false ego. If somebody gives some food, they'll take it, eat it. If nobody gives some food, you don't have any... they don't get upset with anybody about it. And they don't claim any rights in this world. And they don't identify with anything. How is that possible? Because the false ego has completely gone from inside. That's why it's possible to do that. That's why it says there that evam guru vasane ega bhaktiya, through devotion to the spiritual master, guru vasana, that is the service to the spiritual master. And Krishna also says there one important point, that this science is what Uddhava has asked. This extreme subtle science, extremely subtle science, is what Uddhava is asking about. So when Uddhava said, my doubts are not going away, that Krishna's answer to that is, find out who it is doubting. Who is having this doubt? If you understand who has got the doubt, then Krishna says, doubt the doubter, who has got these doubts inside, and keep on asking who is having these doubts, the doubts will go. There won't be any doubts, because the person who is asking the doubts himself is a false thing. Isn't it? It's coming from the false ego. Doubts have come from the false ego. So if you keep asking this question, who is having these doubts, the doubts will naturally disappear. So once we leave this grip of this false ego, once we leave the grip of false ego, then you have escaped. But always the doubt is coming from this false ego. So all the doubts are nothing but what Krishna has spoken before is due to absence of satsangam. Krishna was saying this before, wasn't it? Through satsangam, what happens? This false ego gets dissolved, goes away. Little by little, it disappears from inside. When, by hearing about Krishna and what Krishna has spoken, when that message goes inside, automatically our false ego will slowly disappear from inside. How? Hearing about Krishna, understanding what Krishna is. That is the main thing, understanding Krishna. And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. So here what will happen is, evam guru vasana ega bhaktiya, guru vasana, service to spiritual master, sadhu sangam, salsangam, all these things, easily this thing, this false ego which has come out from that hole, it'll go back through the hole back again to where it came from. Through the same hole it has come out, and through the same hole it will go back to its place where it has come from. And Krishna says there that at that point one will realize that that the process of hearing is effective. Process of hearing is effective. Then, so long as navyavad hraye yajnaha brahma vil brahma vadibhi namuhyandi na shojandi na krishyandi yato gadaha. Every time when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is giving us a feeling of freshness from there, where is that freshness coming? Freshness is not coming from the story. As soon as you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the freshness is coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. If the soul is responding to it, immediately you will experience the freshness in the Bhagavatam. You'll find. That's why many times if you ask people who have been reading Bhagavatam throughout life, they won't leave Bhagavatam behind. They will carry that with them every day, everywhere they go. And they will read one or two chapters, if possible, every single day. Why? They find that every time they read Srimad Bhagavatam, something new is coming from Bhagavatam. Some new realization is coming from Bhagavatam, which hasn't come before. They are not reading, they are actually experiencing Srimad Bhagavatam inside. So, if that stage comes, Krishna is saying there that Navyavad, everything is new all the time. Something new always comes out. There are many people who have said this about Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Navyavad Hraye Yajnaha Brahmavad Brahmavadibi. Yeah. So, when we experience Krishna inside, Atmanabhavam, experience of the soul, that this, as soon as it keeps on developing inside, Mula Avidya, the deep ignorance inside, will slowly get taken out from inside. Yatha yathalpa parimrujyade sau malpunya katha shravana abhidhanehi tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. There is a verse in the Ekadasha Skandam later. You will see, when you hear these things, you must think immediately, Bhagavatam is not simply hearing stories only. Yatha yadhalpa parimrujyade sau mal punya kadha shravana abhidhanehi. As much as we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? Krishna is saying there, tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushmam. You will start seeing that sushma vastu, extremely subtle thing inside, you will start seeing him. Krishna is saying, tatha tatha pasyadi sushma vastu. Tatha tatha pasyadi sushma vastu. Chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Just like Krishna says that a person who has got cataract, in the oldest tradition system prior to this modern operation and everything, they had a method of treatment, a kind of anjanam, a kind of a paste-like thing they used to put in the eye. It will reduce the effect of that
blurring, cloudiness.
Whatever that is. So that vision, that blinding, that goes away with that treatment. In the same way, Krishna says, our avidya or ignorance, which is blinding us, is removed by this Srimad Bhagavatam. It does on its own, but one has to go into it and start it. Tatha tatha pasyadi. What will he start seeing? Vastu sushmam. The sushma vastu inside, he will start recognizing that there is that sushma vastu inside. Today, we are saying that, I understood everything. Bhagavad Gita, I understood. Krishna says, Dehinosman yada dehe, kaumaram yavanam jara, tada dehandara prape. Prabhu, I am not this body. You know that I am not this body. We tell everybody, isn't it? We run all the courses based on these words only. But nothing is happening inside. What to do? That's where the problem is. So, Krishna is saying, tada tada pasyadi vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu you should go after. So sushmatvam is important. Stulatvam is not important. When sushma vastu, when you are searching after, Krishna says, yatha yadalma parimrujyade sau malpunya kadha shravana abhidhanehi. Malpunya kadha, Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you hear them and if you get absorbed in them, Krishna says, Tatha tada pashyati vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu inside will become manifested in front of you. You will see it. That's Krishna's words in the Bhagavatam. You can't refute that. And all the great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis, they have taken Srimad Bhagavatam in their hand and experienced it, tested it and found it. There's proof for that. Those who have realized the truth through Srimad Bhagavatam, they will all vouch for it. They will say this. Yathayadalpa parimurjadeso malpunyagada shravanabhidhanehi tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu, they started seeing inside what they are. In other words, the self-realization has happened to them. So, having said all these things, Krishna says that in the next verse, in the Krishna says there, that if you have not experienced this, then to do this, there is no other better process than Satsangam. Krishna says that, isn't it? In these hills also, prior to this, in this chapter, in this 12th chapter, the important point Krishna has stressed was that only through Satsangam this will happen. And what it will do? Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the three modes of nature, it will be taken away. And pure Jnapti, Jnapti is the word used in the Bhagavad many places, or knowledge, will start reflecting in the chit inside. And and for that, Krishna says the Satsangam, in order that to manifest there, the easiest process is Satsangam. So after this, the most important chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the next chapter, the 13th chapter. And also, it is the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam, that chapter, next chapter, which is known as the Paramahamsa Samhita. Then, or in other words, it's also called as Hamsa Gita. Different names it's given. Hamsa Upakhyanam, Hamsa Gita, Paramahamsa Samhita. All different names Krishna has given them. Now, before going to that chapter, if this chapter, if you have properly thought about this or properly studied it well, then you will understand in the next chapter when Krishna talks about that. Otherwise, you won't find any attraction. You will all remain as a theoretical knowledge. Nothing more than that. So Krishna is saying there, as I mentioned before, in Kathopanishad, we must study that part. In Bhagavad Gita, you should study the 15th chapter very well. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you should study these verses, what Krishna has spoken in the 12th chapter. Bring them all together and look at it, the same message, how it's presented in three different ways, at three different places, by the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. How he has done that. When you see the connections between the three, you can see this transcendental knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Bhagavad Gita, not different from the Upanishads, and not different from any other Vedic literature. That is where the interesting. That is how it gets deeply driven inside. And it has to go inside deeply so that when we listen to Krishna's Hamsa Gita later, in the next chapter, you will find it interesting. You'll find it interesting. So, next chapter begins with that. And in order to do that, explain that Hamsa Upakhyanam or Hamsa Gita. And just before that, Krishna talked about two things. What is that? The Jiva's false ego, Jiva Ahanta, and also the importance of Satsangam. Two things Krishna spoke about that in this chapter, isn't it? That's the two subjects Krishna has spoken in this chapter. The first part is all about Satsangam. The whole second part is about Jiva's Ahanda or false ego, how it activates everything. So, once this chapter, this 12th chapter, is very clear, and if you have developed a deeper devotion and respect or admiration or appreciation of this chapter, Krishna says only then you will get some grip of the next chapter. That's how difficult these chapters are in the Bhagavatam. We can go talking about it, but unless we ourselves put some effort into it and start reading again and again each verse in this Bhagavatam and the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and see the connections there, what Krishna is saying there to Arjuna and what Krishna is saying to Uddhava, because this is a very major part of our success in spiritual life. In order to make that a success, this understanding, what Krishna is saying here, is necessary. So, 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Purushottama Yogam, these verses 17 to 24 in the 12th chapter. And if you can access to Kathopanishad, good, but if you can't, you can leave it, but because it's there from everything has started. In Kathopanishad is much more in a sutra form, it's much more very much condensed form, because there the discussion between Yamadharmaraja and Najiketas. So it doesn't require the kind of explanation what we need today. So therefore, if you read them, you may not find that easy to follow through, because it was spoken at a particular time between Yamadharmaraja and Najiketas, a perfect realized soul, one of the Mahajans as well, and a disciple like Najiketas who have escaped death. And if you see Najiketas' reply to Yamadharmaraja, you can see what kind of disciple he was. So between that guru and that disciple, a higher standard spoken in Kathopanishad. But the message is not different. It's exactly the same thing. Krishna, while speaking to Arjuna, he took one whole chapter to discuss the same topic, the 15th chapter. And there he talked about this, and we went through those chapters in depth when we discussed Bhagavad Gita. And now in Ekadasha Skandam, those same messages come in this form, in these verses. So the same topic discussed in three different places. So in order, before we enter into that as a preparation, Krishna has spoken this discussion about satsangam and also the birth of the jiva, vivara prasudi, Krishna calls it, isn't it? Sayesha jivo vivara prasudi. In the 17th verse, Krishna says like that. Then, so the understanding is this, like Bhagavadam gives so many places this example, isn't it? The snake and the rope example given in the Bhagavadam in so many places. Was actually, is there a rope? Is there a snake in the rope? There is no snake, isn't it? But we feel that there is snake in the rope. So similarly, Krishna has expanded in the form of all this creation, what we are experiencing in this world, different living entities. And somewhere we started experiencing our identity separately, individually, and we started thinking that our false ego has built up very strong. All these things, it keeps on appearing and disappearing every day. While waking up in the morning, it wakes up, and it disappears in the evening when we go to sleep again. So this whole process repeats every day throughout our life, isn't it? Throughout our life, this process is repeating. And this is what is called Maya. This Maya, what we say, Maya. So Maya means inquiring about, this is the beauty of Maya. Maya means something which you cannot explain. Which you cannot explain by any logic, any reasoning. You can't give any explanation to it. So it is the same situation. Day after day, we wake up in the morning, our false ego wakes up. All these things what we discussed so far, all that happens throughout the day, Jagrat state. And then we go to bed, go to dreams, go to deep sleep. All these things dissolves one after the other, isn't it? The body goes away as soon as you go into dream state. In the Jagrat state, I am there. The body is there, the mind is there. As soon as I go into the dream state, body has gone, I am there, the mind is there. As soon as I go to deep sleep, body has gone, the mind is gone, I am there. And in the morning I wake up, all of them come back, whom I have left again. And that happens again next day, again next day, again next day, and the whole life, day after day. And this is what is called Maya. So the next chapter is Hamsa Upakhyanam. That is the Hamsa's story, or the Krishna appeared as a Hamsam. Hamsa means a swan. And in the 15th chapter, when Krishna discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita, Esho Puradhanaham, that if you look into the Kathopanishad, it says like this, that the reference given to the soul is that
Urdhamulomatha Shaka Esho Ashwatha Sanatanaha Tadeva Shukram Tad Brahma Tadeva Amrita Muchyate Tasmin Loka Shridaha Sarve Tadu Na Ityedi Kashchana Etadvaitada. Najiketas is being told by Yamadharmaraja is saying to Najiketas, ഊർധ്വമൂലം ഊർധ്വമൂല അഥോ ശാഖ ഏഷോ അശ്വത്ഥ സനാതന. ദിസ് അശ്വത്ഥ ട്രീ, ദിസ് ട്രീ ഓഫ് ദി വട്ട് യു കോൾ ദിസ് ബനിയൻ ട്രീ, ഊർധ്വമൂലം, ഇറ്റ്സ് റൂട്ട് ആർ അപ്വേർഡ്സ്. അഥോ ശാഖ അവാക് ശാഖ, ഓർ ഇറ്റ്സ് ബ്രാഞ്ചസ് ആർ ഡൗൺവേർഡ്സ്. ഏഷോ അശ്വത്ഥ, ഇറ്റ്സ് എൻ അശ്വത്ഥ ട്രീ. സനാതന, ഇറ്റ്സ് എറ്റേണൽ ഓൾസോ. തദേവ ശുക്രം തദ് ബ്രഹ്മ തദേവ അമൃതമുച്യതേ. That it has it has an existence in such a way that it is pure, and it is pure, and that's Brahman. This material existence has come from Brahman. Yeah, it has come from Brahman. It exists for us for the moment in the form of material existence. What's interesting here is all these things what we are studying and we are trying to realize, at some point we will realize that they don't exist. At the end we go back to the truth that only Brahman exists. That's why Krishna says Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that Brahman is the on which everything is pratishta. Pratishta means it's on is situated. That so therefore Krishna says tadeva shukram tad brahma tadeva amrutamuchyate, and tasmin loka ashridaha sarve sarve na yadi kaschana. So there edadvai tad, and it is fixed in all the worlds, it's present there. Nobody can transcend that. Krishna says nobody can transcend that. So it is a imaginary tree but which is existing. In order to make us a little bit easier to understand, Krishna presented it to us in the form of a tree. That's why it has been spoken in the form of a tree. But we should not keep on thinking tree, 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 where is that tree? What we should be thinking about, the attributes of that tree, how that tree works, what's the connection between material existence, conditioned state of the jiva, and our connection with the truth, which is Brahman, as it is mentioned in the Kathopanishad. So if we go in that direction, Krishna says Krishna says that eventually you will know that the edadvai tad, that means only that Brahman is the truth, only that Brahman is the truth. Brahman is the truth what Krishna is referring to. So that truth what is discussed in this Kathopanishad, which is in the many, many verses after that, Krishna is saying here, urdhamoolam. If you go into Bhagavad Gita, that is how Krishna is saying there. The first few words are same. Urdhamoolam adhashaga ashwattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastvam vedasa vedavil. So at least if you can take the first four verses, which are the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the 15th chapter, if you look in the 15th chapter, Krishna begins with this, that tree. Krishna explained in four major verses. They are important verses. Krishna says that Purushottama Yogam, the chapter was titled, and Krishna said, Urdhamoolam adhashaga pashottam prahuravyayam Chandamsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavil. If you remember, when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, we went through this, quite a lot of details. So if you can go back to that classes where we discussed that four verses, the first four verses, where Krishna talked about the what is the nature of the tree. We talked about the nature of the tree. It runs into many pages. We spoke for a couple of hours on that tree. We discussed that. So it's not possible to repeat all that again. All I can say is that if you look back to that classes and look through that discussions we had about that, and there you will see that the nature of the living entity's entanglement in the material world. That's what is discussed there. How the living entity is entangled in the material world. How it's not easy for him to escape from there. How we are so tightly controlled by the rules of material nature, laws of material nature. How the dulogam, parjanilogam, bulogam, man, woman, and the three states of existence, panchagni vidya, all that things we have discussed at that time. Adaschordham prasradastasya shakaha guna pravardha vishaya pravalaha adaschamulani anusandadani karmanubandini manushyaloke. If you look into the second verse there, Krishna will talk about that samsara vriksham, the tree of material existence, that how the soul not able to free itself from this bondage, what it is caught up with. In other words, that he performs certain activities in this. In order to experience the result of those activities, he has to go, either he has to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy, or he has to go to the lower planets to suffer. Lower planets to suffer, one way or the other, it has to happen. So, prasradastasya shakaha, so the branches are spread right up to the heavenly planets and right down to the lower planetary systems. Vishaya pravalaha, guna pravurdha vishaya pravala. That means, because of the, how did this happen? These trees have gone up like this because of guna pravurdha, because of the three modes of material nature. Vishaya pravalaha, three modes of material nature, with the sense objects together and sense gratification, the tree has grown bigger and bigger. Atascha mulanu anusandhavani, that if you are looking for the root of the tree, you can't find it. Where did this start all this from? When did this tree start growing like this? Karmanu bandhini manushya loke, that in manushya logam, in human body, in this human world, the tight rope Krishna has put around us called karma, and that is very, very, very strong on us. It is impossible to break from that rope what Krishna has put on it. A rope you can't see, but very, very, very powerfully tied us down with that rope of karma. Imagine how important it is to understand this law of karma. How the karma works in this world. How karma binds us. And while Krishna has given so much importance to karma, in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna started speaking to Uddhava also, Krishna said exactly the same thing. And if it's not taken on board, Krishna is saying that all your efforts will just go wasted at the end without knowing these things. Because when you know something, then you will act properly, isn't it? When you don't know anything, then you can do what you like, isn't it? That's what happens. Karmanu bandhini manushya loke. Krishna is saying this, that our bondage is not something what you can, not tied with ropes as such that you can see. But this rope, which you can't see, is a more difficult thing to tie with, to tie. That because you can't see the rope with which we are tied, and we know we are tied, but you know how, don't know how to free yourself from this rope. Punyam bhavam, pious activity, sinful activity, coming from that two ropes. Whether you are bound with a golden chain, or you are bound with the iron chain, you are bound still. But worse is if you are bound with a golden chain. Why? You don't want to leave the gold. You want to keep the gold also with you. So that means you will never get released from that. That is Sattugunam. Sattugunam is that golden chain. So three different metals Krishna has created. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamas. Three ropes to bind us together. So three modes of material nature and the karmam. All these are very much in depth. Krishna has covered in Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. If we take it seriously, then there is hope to go in spiritual life. If you don't take, ignore all these things and say, simply says Haribol every time, and that is not going to work. Nothing will happen. After 50 years, it will be still Haribol. And it won't go very far. Why Krishna has spoken all these things if they are not important? How can you ignore that? They are serious matters in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna is saying that if these things are understood, if these things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandham, if they are understood, Krishna says spiritual life will become, you will develop that spirituality in a person. Otherwise it will simply an endeavor whole life. After 20 years people are asking, chanting Hare Krishna and saying that, why nothing has happened to me, when will that happen? I ask, when will that happen? It will not happen. It may happen, may not happen. I don't know when it will happen. It's not difficult to answer that question, isn't it? So anyway, after that Krishna talked about this. Na rūpam asyeha tatoba labhyate, nando na chādir na cha sampratishtaha, ashvathamenam suviryūdha mūlam, asanga shastrena dhadena chitva. Krishna says how to break this knots, or how we are tied with this different knots, how we should break them. That is the science Krishna is going to. That how we have developed this rupam, and nando na chadir na cha sampradishta ashvathamenam suvirutha moolam. It hasn't got any form in which it has been, we can look at it, but it is situated very strongly in us, very much present in us. Suvirudhamulam, asanga shastrena, dridena chitva. But you have to cut through that knots. Cut through that knots. So that verse and the next, the fourth verse, tadapadamdal parimargidavyam yasmin gadatna nivartandi bhuyaha. Tomevo chadyam purusham pravadde edapravarti prasada purani. That is the fourth verse. Krishna talk about that, inquire about that state where one is released from this. When you get there, what happens? Those things, tameva jadhyam purusham prabhadhyam, that you should inquire after that place when you are released from this, those things. So those four verses in the 15th chapter, that we have to study that very well and read through that and understand it, what Krishna is saying here. That, and then after that, we will come back to these verses when we come back in April 1st Sunday. So next 4 weeks I'm away. So when I come back in April, the first Sunday, we'll start Srimad Bhagavatam again. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.